Parshas Vayigash, Hanukkah. Okay. Yeah, because as long as someone didn't take more than two bites, it's up for grabs. So the first part I want to talk about is Yosef's question to the brothers. Vayomer Yosef l'achav, ani Yosef ha'odo v'chai. So everyone asks, ha'odo v'chai. You've been discussing this now over. You know your father's alive. You know its status of everything. What are you asking? So first there's an itziv. Ha'odo v'chai ena muvena she'ela zu v'chi lo yada shu chai. V'gam masha mesayim ha'mikra v'lo yuchla echo la'anoso so ki nivhalu b'mifunov. He didn't know that he was alive, and then what is there? They were so embarrassed. They were so embarrassed by the question. So why were you embarrassed about? So rechbiya mahayu lehem la no sluli nivhalu. What were they supposed to say? The fact that it caused them to be embarrassed. In the isa b'chagiga, Rebbe Lezer kimata lahaykra b'chi. Rebbe Lezer, oh, we were just talking about you. You went to early davening, so you're not going to be here. You skipped.
No, I went to a later davening. And I skipped out early.
So Rebbe Lezer, when he came to this pasuk, he started to cry. V'lo yochlu echov la'anos oso ki nefalu mipanav. Why? V'ma tochecha shabasa adam mekah. Just like there's a tochecha, a bus of Adam saying something to him, tochecha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, halachas kama v'kama. In other words, he was giving him mussar. What was the mussar he's giving him? And he was saying he cried because imagine when you face someone in this world, and there's someone in this world that's giving you tochecha and you're so embarrassed. Imagine when you finish in this world and you go in front of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you going to say? What was it? L'chora ezu tochecha ha'oisa kan, what was the tochecha? He asked him a question. In the emes od avichai v'lo meis midagoso alai. If my father is still alive and didn't die from the pain, the worry that you gave him, beyosi yodeya shohayisi ahuv etzlo mikol banav. And you knew whatever you want to say, I was my father's favorite. You don't agree? All right, but I was my father's favorite. You love Tati? Maybe you're right. Maybe I was about Gaivinik, I was Chai, whatever you want to say about me. Why weren't you concerned at how it would affect Daddy? That's why he couldn't answer them. He said, well, you're right. Kind of a keep it out of the aim is this. You had such hatred for your sibling, you don't even care what you're going to do to your parents. Mibnei ha-pacha v'habusha. V'lu li'zeh ho ya'onim oso k'mo sh'oni Yaakov l'rocha k'asher olo b'libobo makshava k'zu k'mo sh'gasati l'el kach ho yelehem l'anoso d'mikol makom v'adai kula mahu v'milov. When he said, what do you want? When she said, well, I have no children. What are you getting upset? This is the way it is. If what you did was correct, they would have been able to talk to him. In other words, he's bringing out, and the Malbim has a very similar understanding, but it's even more, also to show that everything they did was not l'shem shamayim. We kept on going to different pshatim, people come up. What were they arguing about? Was it really Shem Shemayim? Comes the Malbim, and the Malbim says, how I know it wasn't Shem Shemayim? He's talking about when the Shimon, when he's cursing in next week's Vayichi, when Yaakov is cursing them, in your anger, how do I know you didn't do it L'Shem Shemayim? Why were you doing it? Oh, Zona, what are you talking about? You took him. How do you let a sister be treated like this? Oh, really? Yosef, ba'apam ratzu lahargo. What Bechor Shor? No, what is he saying? Oh, really? You had such rachmanis in your sister because she's a sibling, but you didn't have rachmanis in your brother. So one second, see, in other words, what they're both saying, the Malbim is really pointing out something else. It's like, well, we know you did this Hashem Shema. How do I know? I see what else you did. If you acted a certain way in another instance that was similar, right? If you say, oh, I love my brothers and sisters, right? Really? So how could you have done this over there? Obviously, you didn't love your brothers and sisters. You know, that's what we say every night in Marav. What is a meyacharecha? You should move, you should protect us. Get rid of the satan before we do a mitzvah. Umeyacharecha, after we do the mitzvah. What is after you did the mitzvah? Because after the mitzvah, the yetzer hara also comes back. You didn't have to do it. Right? And something like this, when you do something incorrectly, you say, you know, last night I was in shul. In Shabbos. And we're going to talk about it again when we get to something, avodas avoda, but if something happened, I almost felt like go home. What are you doing here? We're davening marav in the base medrash. There's no rabbi there. So, one guy in the back, the wedding, and I guess, say Kaddish. 2 minutes later, they're doing Havdalah. You know, they're doing the lighting, come on, come on, light the menorah. Havdalah, do Havdalah. I feel like telling the guy, what are you doing? First of all, even if you don't want to be here, what about everyone else here? What are you ruining the atmosphere? We're doing a mitzvah.
This is Friday?
No, last night. You don't like it. You know,
it's
like
Havdalah first, then.
No, in shul. Shul menorah,
though. Menorah, right.
It's like, that's what it means. V'hatzom satam l'fanecha me'acharecha. U'me'acharecha, meaning it shows me, you weren't davening. If you enjoyed being in front of the Kaddish Baruch, are you rushing? You're rushing at home. You have a meeting with the person you want to meet with in the world, whatever that person is.
More important.
Right?
Wants to get out. If you have 7 or 8 or 9 people waiting at home to light, and they're all waiting for you, maybe he was rushing to get home this time.
No, not at 5:30.
See, everyone besides you is down the cups.
I know him.
It happens to be that's what we had last night. We were waiting to light quickly because we had to leave afterwards.
Yeah.
Just to be devil's.
Okay.
To respond to what you just
said. No, but the truth is, it's a musa for us. It's a musa for us quite often. You know what? One second. It's true. You know, everyone has this. We all know quite often, you know, sometimes you run out of shul. You run. It's like, and you're not going to something.
So why didn't you stay for the Yumi Havdalah, which would have been longer?
That was Stefan Stern. We will be reporting back about this. He's a yekke.
Some people might consider you a hero.
Yeah.
How was his Q&A?
I went to learn. I wasn't. Okay, yeah.
Just to play like lawyer for Shimon and Levy.
I'm just giving one shot. You don't have to accept this shot.
Because, you know, Dina was, and maybe this is, you know, more of a sexist kind of view, but she was like a woman who was, you know, under distress physically. She was raped. Okay, Yosef, they tried to rationalize it, and it probably is just a rationalization that, you know, he was a threat to them because he was trying to basically...
Malcolm was very forward-thinking. He wasn't a sexist.
I
understand, but don't ruin a good shot with the. I hear what he's saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Let's do. This is not really the point I wanted to accomplish today. Let's go to the next piece, page 4. That was a bunch, and I think also what I want to show is, what's the connection between Yosef, Mechiras Yosef and Chanukah? Like, why Dafka these parshiyos?
Why is Miketz always?
Miketz. Right. Even though we're dealing with parshiyos by Yigash, the concept is the same. I think that we can show this. This is a beautiful, this is written by Avishai David. He's the Rosh Hashiva in Israel of What's the name? Torah Trager. He was a Talmud Mufak of the Rav. And he put out in a very nice sefer. It took different Torah of the Rav, and he put it on each parsha. The Rav introduces discussion of Parshas Vayigash with a personal reflection and reminiscence. It's a beautiful story. He described himself as a poor rabbi and a very good teacher. He said by sheer association, he recalled an experience of his early youth. He grew up in the small town of Shazlovitz in White Russia, where his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was the rabbi. Like every other Jewish boy in town, the Rav attended a local cheder. At the time, he questioned the scholarship of his melamed, who was the Chabadnik. I think at the age of here was like his five, six years old. I don't think he was very old. He's already questioning. Ooh. However, he was grateful to his teacher for his entire life because he taught him something that no one but his mother ever taught him. How a Jew could be imaginative in his practice of Judaism. He addressed himself to my soul and to my heart. It takes time for an individual to develop breadth and depth. Not many cheder boys know how to behold the vision. Of his cheder teacher, the Rav said, he taught me how to dream and how to feel yahdus. The episode that the Rav related took place in an overcast day in January after Hanukkah, in the context of Parshas Vayigash. After the holiday atmosphere of Hanukkah had waned for the poor Jews of Chashlovitz, most of whom had a meager living as peddlers, and for the cheder boys, a long winter lay ahead of them. They would awaken in the dark and return home with lanterns in their hands. On this particular day, all cheder boys were depressed, listless, and sad. They chanted the first verses of Parshas Vayigash in a dull monotone in Hebrew and Yiddish vernacular. Vayigash, I love Yehuda, Vayom, what happened over there? Vayom, where is he? You know, Ayichabi Abdecha, Adonisha, Als Abdecha, Hayesh Lochem Abba, Ach. Do you have a father or you have a brother? We have an old father and we have a young brother, and the brother died. And he was the one left over. It seemed as the boys read the question and answer that the Malamed was half asleep. Suddenly he jumped to his feet like a tiger with a strange, enigmatic gleam in his eyes. His eyes were piercing and searching. The Malamed mentioned to the boys who was reading to stop. Then he turned to the Rav and he said, Padravan. Padravan means assistant to the rabbi. As he called the Rav whenever he was excited, the Malamed uttered the words with some sarcasm, because as a Chabadnik, you never forgive me for the fact that I was born to a brisker family. Which represented his nagzas at the highest level. Of course, the Rav added, I cannot accept responsibility for that. I could see the Rav saying, I cannot accept responsibility. The Malamed asked, what was the nature of the question that Yosef asked his brothers regarding whether they had a father? Of course they had a father, as is every human being, except for Adam. The Rav tried to answer the Malamed that Yosef wanted to find out whether his father Yaakov was still living. The Malamed began to talk and didn't address himself to the cheder children, but gave the impression that he was speaking to a mysterious visitor. Yosef, you know, the Rav once, after gave a shir in the 1930s, one of the Baal HaBatim came over and he says, Rabbi, you're an actor. Rabbi, you're an actor. And the Rav looked at him and says, thank you. The Rav understood. Yeah, you had to be an actor to be a good Rebbe. You have to sometimes put on a show to get people. Yossi said that the Malamed wasn't asking his brothers about Ahavut is Galun, the revealed fatherhood, but Ahavut is Tak, the hidden fatherhood. In our modern idiom, he wasn't asking about a biological fatherhood, but rather about the existential fatherhood. Yossi was eager to know whether the brothers were committed to their origin. Hayesh lochem av, are you rooted in your father as the foundation of your existence? Or you're merely a band of rootless, wandering shepherds? The Malamed then asks his voice, do you acknowledge that the old father represents the ancient tradition? Do you believe that the father is capable of telling you something new and exciting? Or are you insolent and arrogant and deny your dependence on your father? Hayesh l'chamav, have you a father? Malamed pointed to the Rav's study partner, Yitzchak de Schmidt, whose father was a blacksmith, and said to you, Yitzchak, have a father or not. He ended by saying that if a Jew admits the supremacy of his father here, then ipso facto he admits the supremacy of his universal father, the Atikium in the Ancient of Days. If we use this approach that the Rabbi can interpret the second question similarly, have you a brother? Yosef is not interested in knowing whether they had another biological brother who had inherited their parents' genetic code. Yosef wants to know, does your awareness of time stop at the present moment, or do you consider future generations as well? Do you plan for the world of tomorrow, which is enveloped in the midst of non-being? Do you see a vision? Do you believe in the improbable? The brother's answer was, yes, we have an elderly father. They said, Atik Yomin. We also have a bright, vivacious, talented young child, our younger brother who represents the world of tomorrow. The answers that the sons of Yaakov gave to Yosef is still true today. God has chosen us and burdened us with many duties despite our many faults. So basically what the brother is saying is just a magnificent understanding. You got to understand, this is at the moment before Gullus. Right, Gullus is happening. It's not, you know, hundreds of years from now. It's happening. It's gonna not tomorrow, but it's the next generation. So what is he saying to them? Do you believe in the past? Are you connected to the past? Do you still have a tradition? How do you look at your father? How do you look at the Torah? Is it ancient? Is it something that's nothing to do with me? Is it something that's not going? This idea, as I more fully develop as we go to the different sources, what I want to show you is that this is the idea of why these parshiyos are connected with Chanukah. Chanukah is that last holiday before the great Gullus. This is the holiday that we commemorate to show that as you go through the Gullus, as you go through now 2,000 years to be in Gullus without the Beis HaMikdash, this is the Gullus, and it's saying you have to prepare for it. And the only way to prepare for it is to still hold on to the Torah. I want to show you something beautiful. This a piece not from this one, Parshas Bo, of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Page 9. You see this, by the way, so often from people who attack Torah and Halacha today. I'm talking about even from Rabbanim. Mamish Rabbanim, they say things like, the Chachamim, they were misogynist. I'm thinking, how do you say that?
What is misogynist?
That was they hated women. They wrote Torah, you know, with an idea that they hated women. You know, women have to be downtrodden. I mean, how you speak about Rishonim like this and Tanayim like this, this is such lack of Havana to understand who these people are. Anyhow, Kos of Haramban. This is unbelievable. Ukvar Hiskira Rabbeinu, question HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. This is an amazing piece from Yaakov. Amazing piece.
Yeah.
Page 9. Yeah. Zeh Ha'ini Ba'omer Shemos Chodeshim Olu Yimana Mibavel Ki Metzchila Lo Ha'yilahem Shemos Etzlenu Avo Kasher Aleinu Mibavel Chazanu L'kro HaChodeshim HaNikram Be'eretz Bavel L'hazkir Ki Shama Madu Umisham he'alinu Hashem Yisborach. The Ramban is saying, look, what does the Torah say? Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni, Chodesh, right? We don't have names. All of a sudden, now we have names. This is Kislev, Tishrei, Elul. Where is that? It's not our names. You took them from Bavel, right? If it happened today, well, we would have said, the third day of January. Right? Well, all of a sudden, you're using Gaish names in the Torah. Not in the Torah, but later on. What are you talking about? Right, the later Nevi'im and the Megillas Esther, they lose these names. During the second, right? You know, they have that. Sometimes they had that. What was that movie? They had a movie where where they actually used Aramaic. The Passion.
I saw it. I understood the whole thing. It was all in Aramaic. It was
really?
Yeah. It was
Can you understand Shas like that?
I don't know. It was really awesome.
V'rak divrei Torah kosu b'loshen HaKodesh. V'alo b'mitzrayim hayu m'shabchem olsam shelo shinu es l'shanam. Right? But what was the whole thing of the Gula? They didn't change their language. So what's the Arab? I mean, why do you speak Aramaic? Hanira b'zeh b'hektem mashi yesh levin hodi'isa b'yoma shebevei sheni chosru chamisha devarim varisha mehem hu ha'aron asher nignaz b'mei Yoshiyahu ha'melech. There were five things missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. So you would think the reason why he was missing, anyone remember where we put it? There was one time Macaulay, he was cleaning whatever he was doing in the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw in the floor he saw that, you know, something is missing, something's wrong. He was about to say, he realized, oh, this is where the Yaron HaKodesh is. Ligmar hadaba ad sheyotza nishmasa v'yadata b'yichud sheshama aranig nasak l'shon ha-mishnah. Mishnah says, oh, he knew it, and his life was taken away. Harei av sheyadanu eifo ha-aron nignas afa pikein lo ha-elu l'makomo b'beitz kodshikvet. They knew where it was, they didn't bring it back. Why should that be? Put it back. You have a bayis sheni, right? Yeah, you have any shaila that you built the base of mikdash today and you knew where it was? You wouldn't put the bayis. You wouldn't put the aron kodesh back. Why would you not?
They knew the bayis was temporary.
Oh, nira shaole bavel shabanu as a base hasheni yodu ki loze habinyan shayama liolamim. They knew this wasn't going to be a permanent bias. It's an amazing thing. I remember the rub. This thing, I will never forget. I remember the day. It was in October. We were learning Gemara Shavuos. I think a tornado was going to happen. I remember it was pitch black outside. Pitch black. It's just very dark. I remember I had bronchitis and I'm coughing and I'm not feeling well. And I come to the Rav Shir and I'm sitting on the side. And the Rav is teaching Shavuos and he's talking about Kitchel Shaisa, Kitchel Yosalovo is the Kedushin, the Beis HaMikdash after the destruction. And he goes through this whole thing, and he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and he asks, I remember the voice that he's screaming, did they observe Tisha B'Av in the second Beis HaMikdash? He says, yes. And then he says, I'll never forget these words. He says, the ghost of the second Churban was always prevalent in the Beis HaMikdash. They knew that it was going to be destroyed. I mean, you have to understand the eeriness of that moment, the way the Rav is describing it. That's what he's saying. They knew it was going to be destroyed. So why did, if they knew it was going to be destroyed, why did they come back? In other words, why did God bring them back? Why was this temporary geula? Temporary geula of 400 years. The ein chazar rosam le'eretz Yisrael b'tkufa zu ha-geula ha-shlema. Datam hoiso ki binyan habayis betkuva hazos lo noad elo lahachinas ha'am letkufas hagolos ha'arucha. The reason why there was only supposed to be one churban habayis, but we weren't ready to last thousands of years on our own. They had to come back. We had to rebuild something to give us an attachment. Right? Is your father still alive? Al pi shoras hadin hayom trichem l'shar b'vavol old zman rav. You go back to the story of Purim, right? The Kalim. Right? They were using the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash. All right, no. Shine, let's move on. Ubarur, Kishemesh Haya, Ki in his Akhu B'nei Yisrael B'Golas Ma'od the Alfei Shanim. There will be nobody left. There won't be a geula. That's why he took him out, brought him back. He only gave him 70. He gave him a little taste. This is what geula is going to be. You better. Ubana lehem is beis abachira. Va'kol b'chteisha yeshuva v'yischazku b'yisodos hamuna v'yumichu sonim lekros tekufa hagolus amora. You have to build institutions. What institution did we build? Tefillah. Gemara. Torah Shebaal Peh was written. All the Mishnayos, Gemara, everything was built at this time so that we could survive in Golus. B'chtei lehadgesh lehamkesh le'am sh'adayim heim lo nigalu v'chi be'etzam adayim heim begolus lo helos ha'aron. Since they were in Golus, it's a very nice pshat. Since they were in Golus, even that time is still considered a Golus. It's an amazing thought. Right? And people said, we're no longer in Golus. I remember seeing something on Tisha B'av. Tisha B'av, we don't observe anymore because we're no longer in Golus. We came back to Eretz Yisrael. Here they had the Beis HaMikdash and they felt they were still in Golus. Lohelu was Aron, Mekar HaKadusha B'vayis HaRisham, Mimakam Shinik. They didn't bring back the Aron HaKodesh to show it's still temporary, still in Golus. Machmas HaKarasam Zu. So what were we doing? Thank you, Kodesh B'av. Thank you for saving us. So what do? As a Hakara Satov, they adopted the names of Bavel. Sha'adayin lo higi hagula shlema hinhigu ole Bavel kama v'kama in yanim sheyu osim kamo shehoyu nogim b'tkufas ha-golus. They did certain things the way they still did it in Golus. Laharo sheba'emes tkufa Golus Bavel adayin imsheches v'habinyan hadnivna eina ela aroi v'otu l'achrev. So they continued stirring certain menhagim that they did in Bavel to show that this bias is temporary. Machmas zeh, kishe'olim mibavel, chazal lekros ha'shem ha'chadoshim b'shem, shenik b'bavel. U'kemoshe kosev ha'ramban, lahazkir, kisham omanu, u'misham he'elinu ha'shem yisborach. To remind us, that's where we lived, God took us back, kolom ha'kedei l'schor sheba'emes, lo negalu ba'ofen mushlam. We weren't totally a goal. Lochein, gam lashonim nishar b'lashon hagolus, lashon arami. I love this line. I always love this. Arami is the lashon of golus.
What does that mean, arami?
Aramaic. Aramaic is the lashon of golus.
Some might say it's Yiddish.
It's my mind. I always felt the same thing. Always felt Yiddish is the lashon of golus. So, something to talk about. The antagonism not to accept. Maybe this is the pshat. We're still in Golus. So don't make Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh yet.
Even though
I don't
know.
State, still in Golus. Okay, maybe that's the Havana. V'lo chazra l'dava b'lashon ha'kodesh ma'shahoyim mara ki'ilu heim nigala ba'ofen sofi. The same idea, right? V'nirish zeh gam hatam adua nechtav hatamet ha'yushami ba'romis. The Bishmo Habavli Shenichta Bavel Nichta B'Sofa Hamedina. I understand that the Torah Shabbat Peh that was written in Bavel. What are you going to write it in our scroll language, right? You're waiting to write it in a very difficult Hebrew in America. No one's going to buy it. So you do it in Yerushalmi. They spoke Hebrew still, right? Avol Yerushalmi Shenichta BeEretz Yisrael Madunat BeAramas Avol Edvareinu Nasezem Mehatam. Now we understand why. V'ayin le'el b'parshas v'yichi she'b'yatad v'hizeh mandu be'emes lo'kom melech mi'malchus beis David b'tkufasu. Why? We're going to get to a different shot from the Avodah Zavodah, why it was Dafka chosen from the Kahanim. But he's going to say, why was not Malchus beis David chosen? Ki lahamid melech mizera hamlucha ha'isa ba'osa shah ki neged ruach ha'mokom. Ki ha'malchus melech mi'mishpachas David ha'yum isparashah ki ilo higiyu keita yomim. If you would have taken someone from David, so it would have been similar. Oh, now we're back. It's the end. The Geula is here. That's why they didn't say, no, you can't have this. The Arzeh Navin Dover Tamua Beseda Nevi'im. Sher Nevu'a Chagai Hamashiaches Beruba Abinyim by Shani Nemru La'acha Nevi'as Yechezkel. Hamishores Lanu al Odas Binyan of Beis Hashlishi. So the order of Nevi'im. Yechezkel is talking about which? The final Gula. But then you have Chagai. And Chagai was talking about the second, this Bavel. You skipped. In the order, go historically. That's what, okay, we're going back there to Yisrael. Now we're going to talk about the third one. No. But Ad Rabbi Ika Shlichus Shachagai Hesel Tzavos of Rosh Yehuda. Lo litzapos lahamdim la'achros hayamim elivnos ben entayim mikdashayim. That's what he's telling them. Listen, I know this isn't permanent, but you got to build it. Because you'll never get to the third base of Mikdash if you don't build this one.
So we got to tell this to the Torah Karta. Is that we should build the
If you could ask them to come to Shir, I'd be happy. I'll buy extra bagels. We'll make sure Chol V'Yishol and everything.
They won't eat them.
Maybe they will. My wife doesn't wash for bagels. Because the Satmar Rebbe didn't wash for bagels. This is one thing she has in common with the Satmar Rebbe. So,
why not?
Because it's boiled. It's boiled. The truth is, I don't believe. I don't believe the Samba Rebbe ever ate a bagel. I just. I know. So listen, I wash. My wife doesn't ask me. She doesn't listen to me. None of my kids listen to me. No one listens to me. Avozet zorach beer. Madu in istava yechezkel al habayis hashlishi kodem shetava chagel habayis hasheni leizet zorach etim yosama ucha. Am none, but reason is the free mashikasa shah. Now it makes sense. The nevuah zechezkel odos habayishlishi behekroch hoysetzricha liyels mukdemus. Kizehu habayish siminus haguuli yisrael hashem. Because that's where we're going to. When the nevuah zot tzipu bnei yisrael me'etz churban habayish arishon leglus atida. Okay, so what was the whole pasuk? In other words, what is he trying to say that this whole second geula was only like an interim? You have to prepare for galus. You can't just go into galus forever. That's what Yosef was saying to them. Is your father still alive? Meaning, do you still have an attachment? The end of Parshas Vayigash and the Parshas Vayichi is sasim. There are different reasons why it's given. Because the nevuah was sasim and Yaakov. The other reason was because this was the beginning of the gullus. And in order to survive the gullus, there can't be a separation between the future and the past. You have to be part of the past. You have to feel that you're still part of a movement. You're still part of the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah. You got it right? That was the idea that the Meshech Chachma says the problem with the attack against Shimon V'Levi was they thought they weren't part of the past anymore. They thought they were in the camp of Esav. They thought that they were in the camp of Yishmael, and they would have no hope for the future. So how old Yosef Chai was a pshat of saying is, are you ready for Golus? Where do you stand on all of this? And they keep and Yaakov also. Obviously, they're acting in a certain way that even Yaakov was concerned, right? And again, he thought, maybe my children. My children must be off the derech. Yeah.
So how would you, using this explanation, how do you explain Yaakov saying to them, it was a very practical question, why did you give him more information than he asked for? Why did you tell him he had, because Yaakov said it basically, why did you tell him you had a young brother? You didn't have to tell him that. And if you look at the question and the answer, you didn't have to tell him that. Right. And he said, you know, now you endangered my son by doing that. So how would that exchange fit into this? Because you're saying that the exchange was...
It's a different exchange. It's different talking. Here, Rav Yosef was saying, he's giving another turn to speaking to him. No, it's somewhat... But here was incongruous. We've already spoken. He knows his father is alive. Wait a minute. Oh, you mean over the last year? You know, whatever the last few months it took you to go back and forth. Oh, is Yaakov still alive? So the Mepharshim... You got to understand.
No, I'm saying the part where he says... He asks him about his family, and they add in, oh, we have a young brother.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the question, they didn't have to give that information.
Right.
Yaakov asks them, why did you tell him that?
Right.
Because now you're endangering another son.
So why were they doing that?
The explanation you're giving is that the exchange between Yosef and the brothers was about, you know, the future and how do we prepare for the future. It doesn't seem to fit with the exchange between Yaakov and the brothers.
Well, because they're not answering. That's a previous. That's not his question. That's not their conversation. They had their point. You're right. Why were they doing? I don't know. That's a good question. Let's look at the Avodas Avoda.
How's Talmud's Lashon Avodah Zarah? The name.
Look at the picture.
This pictures.
The pictures. I don't know. I'm not a Bucky in Avodah Zarah.
Talmud was the god.
He was a god there.
He's an expert.
He was a god there.
It was one of the gods. Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas.
Creation of the world. one of the gods in the epic battle.
Thomas Oranges.
I thought they were in the schmuck.
Okay. So the Avodas Avoda, this is the Rebbe from Tosh. Very nice, very nice. I think this helps bring it home. The Rebbe from Tosh. He lived in Montreal, outside of the Montreal. A beautiful, beautiful sefer. Picked it up at Petolia. Picked it up a few weeks ago. The Avodas Avoda, the reason I picked it up is I thought the Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote a sefer on Avodas Zorah called Avodas Avoda. It was like in a new print. So I picked it up, wanted to see what it was, and I opened it and said, whoa, this is not... it's on a Parshias. So I picked up one. I started reading through the Parsha. That's my minute. I go to Sparum stores and I just stay there. I read. Good. All right. Not for me now. And then I like this. It was pretty cheap. And I bought it. And it's really tremendous, tremendous Torah. All right. Isa b'Masechta Shabbos, my Chanukah, right? Tanu Rabbanu k'shenichnas yevonam lehechel timur kola. Shemenim shebehechel. Uchishigabra malchus beish chashmenoi v'nitzchum batkuv ulamatu ala pach echad shal shemen shemunach b'chosmo shal kamen gadol v'lo yiba eitzel lahat v'lo yiba ela lahadik yom echad nasa b'neis v'ligum imena shemona yomim. Hence, we have jelly donuts today. But the question which he's going to ask, k'var dikta ha-mefarshim lo matzin ha-davik hazeh, what don't we find? Shahakawin Agadu, Yachta Mechosmo, Espache Hashmanim, Shabbat Samit. Where'd you get to? We never saw this before. Never saw the, you know, Yainison. It's good. Act of Yainison. Vim Kane, Lomo Yapasa, Chosim, Mechosmo, Shakawin Agadu. Ojavu, Amasha, Omni, Besifri, Hakdoshim, let's say, Tom, Amasha, Nasa, Nes, Chanukah, Ayidei, Hakohanim. Why Dafka through the Kohanim? I know, obviously here's the base, but why Dafka Kohanim? Somebody else could have. Halo hey mukdashim la avod avodas hakodesh, v'lo hayadarchem la aroch mulchamos. These are yeshiva boys. What are the yeshiva boys all of a sudden starting a mulchama? Ela malchus beis David mishevet Yehuda loch muntamim mulchamos Hashem. V'lo makan nasa hanes daik al yidah. Why Dafka to the Kohanim? V'chen kvar hitcher rishonim. Why Dafka to the Chashmonaim? Rabbi Yaakov said through the Chashmonaim to show that this is a temporary geula. He's going to give a different reason. Oh, Dikta Mefarshim, Lama Kavu Chazal Iker Hayom Tov Al Hanesh Al Haneiros V'lo Sashum Zeicha Al Nituach HaMachamos. Why Dafka does the Nes of lighting the menorah, why is that the Iker and not the Mechama? The Mechama is barely mentioned. It's mentioned in Al Anis, and that's it. Why isn't that more of a... I mean, there are discussions about that it is, the Hallel, during the day.
Also, why don't we have Megillas Chashmonaim part of our canon?
Right.
Well, that I
know. Why?
That you know.
Rabbi Yehuda Asher, because the Chashmonaim took the Malchus and the Kohanim.
Well, the question over here, the Rav... So the Rambam says there's nothing wrong. You're allowed to do that.
Well, he asked it. That's why
we don't
read
it. Oje Shavar, Masha Hebi Abach, Sha'oma Yavon, Mitzvah Achas Yesh B'Yad Yisrael. This is on the Bach. I mean, we obviously have that, you know that Yavon established Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Mila. But the Bach says, the Mitzvah Achas Yesh B'Yad Yisrael, Imatam Mevatlam Osam Yadam Kvar Heim Labudim. He's saying that there was one mitzvah they Dafka wanted to stop them from doing. Ve'ezazeh halakas ha-menorah. Kol zman shemadlikin osam tamid, heim omdim omdu v'tamus. So what did they do? They were metameh all the shman. They Dafka wanted to make sure they couldn't light candles. V'tzaruch ba'er, lama daika be'avodash zu shahalakas ha-neiros. Why did they do it? V'yavuwa apida, so here... First he starts getting a beautiful, beautiful answer. First of all, he says as follows. Yivu api ayiduim pi yisvarim mesofrim debelev kol bar Yisrael shochenet nakudim mitnimis. The nakudim mitnimis, what he means to say is the nishmas alokus. The Jew has a nishmas behemus, like everyone has a nishmas behemus, a regular neshama. The Jew has an extra neshama. It's called Nishmas Elokus. That Nishmas Elokus, you don't even realize it, that it's within you. It cannot have a pagan. It's perfect. Inside the Jew. That's your connection to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The way Tanya describes is that the Nishmas Elokus comes from the Kaddish Baruch Hu and to Adam, and everyone is attached through this. That silent neshama within is pure, 100% pure. We have this, when Moshe Rabbeinu will do this, Nesiv Shalom, when we get to Parsha Shmos. But over there he talks about that the Vahasne Enenu Ukal, it was the message that God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Every Jew has this Nishmas Elokus within him. There is a fire that burns around him. It doesn't burn up. But that fire represents that which prevents him from getting in contact with it. He just doesn't realize it's there because he's so busy in the world. There's so many things, the Yetzirahs and his involvement. He never doesn't realize it, but it's there. And sometimes you just have to ignite it. As a Rebbe, you have to get him in touch with it. He said, "Evin shalleha omru chazal Yisrael, afa pishachata Yisraelu. Ki be'ish Yisraeli afim chotem ha'od neged shemo yisparach v'timis nefasho b'harvi avonos chalila." Doesn't matter how far this man goes. Im kol zeh lo shayev shenefasho ti'oke legamrei mekedushas Hashem yisparach. He never leaves totally. He's always a desire. And here is, he's going to quote something from Tanya, which is just an amazing statement. Ki b'karov libo temuna adayin nekuda achas asher l'shem eino magia shum pegam. It never, nothing can ever touch this. Unekuda zu, for this neshama lukus, e efshar shitzi pogem li olam, v'af b'chet adam harishon lo neskam. No matter what you do, even adam harishon's chet, this part remained pure. Unekuda zu mekasheres as adam elov yisparach lo olam. It's such an important lesson. Let's see how he develops it, but it's such an important lesson to believe this. In the sense of, like, that neshama within you, which is pure, is always attached to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, always desiring the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It can never change, no matter who you are. No matter how far you run away, it's still there. It gives you the desire and the ability to do tshuva. Umavur b'sifra ha-kadoshim. Demitam za anarom sha'ap posha Yisrael, kasher rotzim lahavira memunas Hashem. Think about the Holocaust. This is an amazing statement. We see Poshe Yisrael, people who weren't from, they didn't care, that were barely Jewish. Kasher rotzim lavira memunas Hashem, mosim nefashim la'alos al hamoked al kiddush shemo yisbarach. Something draws them. And just, they will give up their lives to be Jewish. Av shebechayim avru al rotzim Hashem. The whole life they didn't want to do this. Zemimnei sheba'osa shah shekofen asam lavira memunas Hashem, misoreres. That part of their neshama gets awakened. And now he goes on, he says, just like in every neshama, every human being, every Jew has this, you know, we call it the Pintel Yid, but it has a Nishmas Elokus. It's also like that. There is in the Shoresh, you also have this in a day, one day of the year, and one makom. What is that? Yom Kippur, the Kodesh Kedoshim. So what does he say? Hanakuda Panima Shibishana Hu Yom Kippurim. Shibi Yom Ze ain't Satan Vain Pegara, nothing stops him. Kemoshim Ruchazal Satan Biyuma Ti Kippure Leslam Rishusa Lishtuna. He can't stop us. Hanakuna Panima Shiba Olam is a Makum HaMikdash. And that day, what happens? The Kohen, who's a Shliach of Klal Yisrael, right? He represents all of us, the Neshama Elokus of all of us, goes in. Every Neshama is attached to every Neshama because we're all part of the same Neshama that comes from Adam HaRishon, goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim, lights the menorah. That menorah, or not, you know, into the not in the Kodesh Kedoshim, but Malkum Hashrosh Chinas Yisbar Tamid Ben Shem Koch Mikolchos Harash Shorasham Lachay Nichnas Hakohen Gadol BeYom Kippurim LeKodesh Hakedoshim Ki Hakohen Hagadol Shahayishlucha Shaklal Yisrael LaVod Avodas Hamikdash Hu Yeshorish Hanakuda Apenimah Shekol Nefar. He goes in at that moment in the place, the central aspect of this world. V'kashen nechnes ha'kamei gadol l'kotche kotchem, b'yam ha'kipurim, nes'achtu kol kochus ha'nakuta ha'penimus. It's like, you know, it's like you see this in the movies, you know, like something, all of a sudden, all of the Martians, you know, there's like something in their heart and it starts lighting up. It's just that, in a sense, that's what he's saying. In other words, all of our nishmas of l'kus within everyone is reinvigorated.
How the Grinch. Literally, his heart grows at the end.
You know, I always joke about. I used to learn with Chavrusa Rabbi Kelmer. So one night, you know, listen, no matter what, even Rabbi Kelmer bought it a little bit. So I remember one night we're talking, and he brings up. I don't know how we got involved in it, but I guess we're talking about Midrashim. So he quoted from the Ten Commandments. I quoted something in the Ten Commandments. It says, Sesame DeMille was a bucky in Midrashim. That's where he wrote the whole thing of it. So he started talking about the gangster. He liked him. Andrew J. Robinson. He said, I liked him.
You know, an example of this is there's a British Labour Party member, Jewish woman Labour Party member. And she said, I was a totally assimilated Jew, didn't even go to shul on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And she says, my rabbis always tried to make me into a Jew, they failed. My Jewish friends tried to make me into a Jew, they failed. When there was anti-Semitism in the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn, Jeremy Corbyn made me into a Jew.
Rabbi Wick, yeah. Also just one more little thing.
Yeah.
In Israel, when there were terror attacks, you know, you see afterwards on the news, you see all the chilonim who are like actually anti-datim, okay? When they survived an attack, let's say, because they were there but nothing happened to them, they say on the news, like, it was a miracle, God saved. Suddenly they
finally,
yeah, no, I'm saying,
right,
you
yeah.
No way for you to see. Right. You never say it before.
Goes here, that's why you never give up on any Jew. You have to know how to... V'zoz ha'isai b'odos ha'koin. 14. What?
You've given up. I'm out of your children.
Talmidim.
Many of us right here.
I hold like Beishamai. You know, Beishamai says, Kala Noah, Kala Chasuda. And he says, you tell her what you know. You don't say. If she's ugly, you don't say, Kala Noah, Kala Chasuda. He says, she's not so pretty. You can't lie. Midmai Shaka Tirchak. Other people hold like Beishamai. This I hold like Beishamai. That's why Rabbi Kelman gets the big bucks tonight. And that's what happened every day when they lit the menorah. And it goes to this whole thing. Now, the idea of the lighting menorah was to enlighten, to reinvigorate. Somehow, it was a nace. It invigorated every Jew. This is what brought every individual together. The kivan shavodazu ba legalosis on the kuda penima shabenafa shisrael. It was done through the kohen. What are we doing? We're getting ready for. We're in galus. We have to relight the fire. Who does that? The Kohen. That's why the Kohenim had to be the ones to be involved in this Geula. That's why they had to be the Malchus. This was a spiritual reinventing. This was important. You can't just have political leaders. Shehu anekuda penimah shebenefesh over hechel hamikdash befenin kimakam hamikdash hu anekuda penimah shebeolam. V'kashen es achdu kochos anekuda, when all of this got together, hapenimah shebeolam. Uvenefesh biyachin es ora ayidei ze hanekuda penimus. Now, this is the ik, this is so important for us. And I'll speak just to us. Uvezen navo, now we could come levaer inyan hanes to Chanukah. Tzikvar bi'arnu kama ba'amim. Tzikvar kavonis malchus yavon harasha haisa la'akor milibos b'nei Yisrael es eish hakodesh. What did the Greeks want to do? They wanted to remove the fire, the eish hakodesh from our hearts. V'zor Hashem shebelibam. Ki rasu shebnei Yisrael yikaimu ha-mitzvos v'yilamdu ha-torah ki mitzvos anoshim ben-lomda b'kriras. Coldness. you should perform the mitzvah like a kalta, you know, with just cold heart, without feeling. Bli hergesh, de kedusha ubli or udvekus elav yisparach. V'lachein rotu lahastir lechasos es or hanakuda hapnima shebekerav livavam. Ki yadam shekol zaman shenakuda zu meskalis belibos b'nei Yisrael lo yuchel lechabos behem es ha'eshak dusha v'shekuda levavam b'torah v'mitzvahs. What is he saying? This is beautiful. The Baal Shem Tov always says, before you could have a universal geula, there has to be geula prati. Every individual is in geulas. You have to look at yourself. Geulas doesn't simply mean physical geulas of Klal Yisrael. There is a national geulas, and there's an individual geulas. What is the individual geulas? That's what I meant in the beginning. I know you're talking about. I know you're talking that you always have to be malamitzchus, but it also is something to be honest with ourselves. There is a coldness how we approach Torah, a coldness how you approach doing mitzvahs. And yes, every once in a while, you're running out of sugar. You're running to do a mitzvah. You're running to do something. You're not chanami. I can't. There's always that. But then there are some that's what they do. Every single tefillah is in a rush. Every single mitzvah is done with that. Let's do it and be finished with it. He says that is the gullus. That's what separates you from the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I always thought, I wanted to say a nice pshat of saying, what is it? Amos Ikaron Hashma. That's the beginning of Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah, Bavli. Me'emas Ikaron Hashma. So why do you start with brachas without it? Kabbalah Slamachas. Of course. The Lashem Me'emas Ikaron. I want to say Amosai means that a Jew looks at, when is the first moment I could do a mitzvah? It's like an excitement. I want to do so. I want to get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amosai Karanishma. When is the first second, the first moment I could do this mitzvah? That's how a Jew is supposed to behave. That's the whole idea of Chanukah. You're going to be living in Golus. You're going to be in for thousands of years. How are you going to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? If you're going to act in a cold manner, you're lost. And if you're not lost, your children will be lost. Because they see that. They see how you approach Shabbos. And Shabbos is just something, I come to shul, I go, I daven, I go home, I get undressed, put on my shorts, I put on my t-shirt, I go out to the park, I sit around. Where's Kedusha Shabbos? Where's the Kedusha? Do you feel it? The halacha says, until you say Havdalah, you're supposed to wear big day Shabbos. It's like in Rabbi Kalman, by the way, wears his jacket. He was telling me, what is his Rebbe used to tell him, he has problems, so he wears his short sleeves. But his Rebbe said, you're supposed to wear the whole thing down, it's to show something special. I don't want to get involved how to dress, that's not my point. But the feeling, I told you the story of the Rav. The Rav once was coming in on Tuesday, and the Talmud spilled some tea on him. And the Rav kept on saying, it's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault. And then the Talmud texted to the Rav and said, I thought he's crazy. He said, I spilled the tea on you. you didn't spill the tea on yourself. He said, this was my suit from Shabbos. I put it on. Rabbis, they wear black suits. He says, this is my suit for Shabbos. And I realized that I was too lazy to change. Isn't that amazing? Realize it's big day Shabbos. It's not old school.
Both the guy and the rabbi.
Yeah.
Does that also hold inside your house? You should never.
Yeah, you should always. Well, no. I mean, listen. In the afternoon, you want to be a little more comfortable. You put on sweats. You could learn, right? That's what you're doing Shabbos afternoon. You're not playing, you're just sitting and learning. The rabbis stay up 3-4 in the morning every Friday night. Every Friday night, you learn. I go to sleep and I wake up 3-4 in the morning. It's easier. But, you have to. That's what you got to do. It has to be part of your life. So that's what he's explaining. To turn the page, he says, "V'chol shana v'shana kasha anu madlikim neir shachanika misora oseh hakoah shahaya oz." That's what Chanukah is. It's supposed to reinvigorate you. Kigam begolus hamar hazeh zehu ikur hagolus v'koach hester. She'enon emargishim es hanakuda hapenimis hatmuna v'lev kol echem Yisrael. We don't realize. I said it in jest, talking about Shabbos Sheket, but to me, the Shabbos Shel Sheked, what we had, of course we should be quiet. First of all, Menschlichkeit. It's just Menschlichkeit. You come into shul, someone else is davening, how do you have a conversation in front of you? That's Menschlichkeit. You don't want to daven, don't daven. The other guy, he's davening. Don't interrupt him. Enoch Hanami. But it's not enough to have a Shabbos Shel Sheked. You got to have, like, what are you doing there? Like, there has to be a feeling. The reason why there's talking is because it's what he's saying. We're not in touch with that. We don't understand what davening is. We don't feel it. I mean, that's what it is. You can't blame anyone for talking during davening. Even Rabbi Lieberman had said something. I told him about it. He said, that's so terrible to speak during davening. He's joking. But what he was saying is, it's such a beautiful Chabad notion. You know where they're talking. Don't get upset because they're talking. Try to figure out how to get them to stop talking. They themselves will want to speak. They'll want to daven.
Impossible.
But there has to be a
fact.
Nothing's
impossible. Oh, so that's what he says. He now says to you, he says to Ben Rosenstock, every person says, I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the ability to just awaken my nishmas alakus. You see what is beautiful? If you have to believe you have this special nishmas, you have the potential. If you don't believe you have the potential, you're never going to try it. What was the nes? Shahoya oz by yomim mehem bezman hazeh. Sha'idei hadlokas neiras chanukah shebishemen haromes lechokma. When you light the olive oil shemen, anu garmim hashpia or hamochin letara esheva hamido shebelev. It's awakening the midos. Va'ayidei zeh mislahei koach hanukuda hapnimus shebelibenu. Uvakoch zeh yachol kol bar yisrael letzeis mekol. Your darkness, you think this arouses this. And then he goes on, he says, you believe that you don't have this ability. That's the Yetzer Hara talking to you. One more point before we open, because it's really, you should go back. But I want to, the next page, I'm trying 18. That's where he says, Kol Eile Hengdivrei Hevel Shel HaYetzer. Impossible. Every Jew has the ability to attach himself to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what the Nishmas Elokus means. Ki Yisrael afa pishachata Yisrael hu. And then he says, in every person you have to take it upon yourself as you're going through this time to let it stay with you. Gives an end, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pshat. It's in the last page of 19. I'm sorry, we just don't have time. But I think it's something you'll think about Yishtabach every differently every single time. You see on page 19 on the left hand side, he says, "What does it mean? Haboche b'shirei zimra? Shekadosh Baruch Hu boche b'shirei zimra milashon shira yorayim. Don't say shira, but shira what's left over. Haynim ba'or hanisha bekerav ha'adam la'achal limud ha'torah ve'avodas ha'tvila." After you learn and after you daven, if you act and you learn it in a certain way, it remains with you. What would the Kutzker Rabbi said? If you didn't change after davening, it's a sign you didn't change. In other words, after you, it's like let that little thing stay with you longer. The whole idea is that for Chanukah, the lessons of Chanukah to stay with us through the winter, meaning in our gullus, in the way we exist. It should warm our hearts and change us. That's the idea of why I think that the parshiyos are always around Chanukah. Because the idea, it's not the Mechiras Yosef in the sense of that, but it was that this was how to prepare yourself for gullus. And not only the national gullus, the individual gullus, to realize what's wrong with our Avodas Hashem. And I'm speaking to myself, we all have this. I mean, I'm not kidding myself. There are times you go into davening and you mispalel and you daven and you have in mind. And you, most of the time, listen, you put on tefillin, you put on the talis. I'm tired. I'm not thinking about it. You know, I always still joke about the first time I went over to Rabbi Kalman. I put on Rabbeinu Tam. I went over to him and I said, listen, I realized I put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin first and I said the brachas. And then the question, what do? I didn't know. So I went over to Rabbi Kalman. I said, I put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. I said the brachas. I wasn't mafsik at all. I didn't speak to anyone. I didn't speak to anyone in particular. I also didn't have any kavana for tefillah to speak to God. Mamish no hefsik. Do I have to say the brachas again? This is the way life is. You know, much of our lives, you know, we do go by rote. But that's, you know, that should be the exception, not the day to day thing. Yeah.
Maybe if someone who wasn't always employed in that really different perspective, there's a saying that 80% of success is showing up. And the very fact that you put on
Mitok Shalola Shma Bala Shma. Yeah.
Enachinami.
Enachinami.
Enachinami. You have to have some faith that Hashem will be yes. Human beings that Hashem
but
will
you,
help us.
It's true. That. It's true. But you yourself should say to yourself, it's not good enough. You have to keep on growing.
Rabbi,
let me end with
Rabbi
one.
My friend wrote a book. It's never too little. It's never too little. It's never enough. That's kind of like you have to have that.
Very good. That'll be the next book you get me. So the one last. I'll just tell you this. Parshas Vayigash. One last thing from. I'll just tell you outside. This is from Menachem Ganak. Beautiful little idea. He points out. He said you don't even realize it. What Yosef was doing. It's interesting. David Rudolph had told me of Shah from Rav Schwab. I meant to look it up. I thought that this plot really just the opposite of what Rav Schwab said. Yosef, what did he do? You know, the idea from Yosef was, all of a sudden he changed the whole economy there, and he changed ownership. All of a sudden, Paro became the center. He became the center, and he created, they weren't slaves, but he created the concept that can lead to slavery. Yosef himself, in his actions, which is really trying to do, you know, to correct it, what are the actions that allowed Mitzrayim to create the world of slavery for Klal Yisrael? Interesting, a little short. Maybe something we'll discuss next week.
I have a question.
Yes?
Whom did Yosef marry?